For it is I this day who have made you a fortified city, a pillar of iron, a wall of brass against the whole land. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Brothers and sisters, today we have a beautiful feast day of St. John the Baptist. It's kind of an exciting tale. It's pretty easy to put yourself in the gospel and to see everything unfolding. You can really see everything that's going on there, right? You can see the court. You can see the beautiful young girl. You can see Herod there in all his splendor, and the angry Herodias, who just wants power and hates that anybody doesn't want her to be married to somebody who she really can't be married to. And you can even feel the furor that's there and the embarrassment of Herod as he has to at once be caught between taking a man's life or going back on his word in front of people who he wants to respect him. It's really easy for us to see what's going on because it's exactly the same as so many of the things we watch on TV, right? The dramas that go on there. It's really easy to picture these things that are going on. John the Baptist is a figure for us of what it means to stand up when you know something is true. One of the things that I think about the life of St. John the Baptist that always inspires me, I love this man, is because he's willing to say what needs to be said, not because he wants to be a jerk. John the Baptist wasn't a jerk. He was a rough guy. He was a manly man. He lived out in the desert. He lived on locusts and honey. He was a strong man, a rugged individual. But he wasn't a jerk. He just spoke truth plainly. In fact, I like to liken St. John the Baptist to another saint of our church who is dealing with the same sort of issue of somebody marrying somebody that they couldn't marry and stood up to the king, St. Thomas More. You see, St. Thomas More was the chancellor, meaning he was basically second in command in all of England underneath Henry VIII. And Henry VIII decided that he wanted to change his wife a number of times. And finally, he just wanted to get rid of his current wife, who was really difficult to get to marry her in the first place. Some exceptions had to be granted. And then because he wasn't able to produce an heir through her, wanted somebody else who was younger, more beautiful in some ways. And when he couldn't do that, he started his own religion. That's how the Anglicans came about, because he wanted to be able to change his wife. St. Thomas More stood up to him and said, "You know I'm your dearest friend. You know that I love you above all things, King. We've spent so much time together and shared so much of our lives together. I'm your dearest friend, King, but I'm God's first." St. John the Baptist stood up to the king not because he wanted to be a jerk, not because he wanted to show something in his face or show how he was superior because he forsook marriage altogether. He did it because he wanted Herod to do what was right, because he loved Herod, because he wanted to be a good servant of Herod the king. He wanted to be able to help his king do what's right. And so that's the task of each of us. So many of us are here because we're getting ready to, God willing, be confirmed here on May the 9th. Some of the graces that you will get when you are confirmed, if that day does come and you are ready, one of the graces that you'll need is the grace that St. John the Baptist had, which is the grace of fortitude, which is a grace that allows you to stand up amidst insurmountable odds, to stand up for what is true and good, and to speak for something, and to endure the consequences that come because you did that thing, because you stood for what was right. Not because you were a jerk and was rubbing something in somebody's face, but because you loved God so much, and because you loved that individual who you had to say that difficult thing to so much, that you wanted them to be able to live in true freedom and happiness. The reason why it's a great God incidence, not a coincidence, but a God incidence, that today we're getting ready to prepare you for this journey into confirmation on the feast of St. John the Baptist's beheading, is so that you will begin to see what the demands of confirmation are, to be willing to be a soldier for Christ, to actually take ownership of your faith and go forward in a world that wants to destroy it. You can't stand on your own in this faith. In fact, as a priest, I can't stand alone in my faith either. But the same spirit that inspired St. John the Baptist lives in me because I'm confirmed and I say yes to God the best I can today. And he'll do the same for you. So at the end of Mass, I have a stack of litanies that I'm going to pass out to each of us. And at the conclusion of Mass, we're going to pray together the litany of St. John the Baptist, asking God's Spirit, which inspired this man to give his life for the truth, in the same way to inspire us to do the same and our church to do the same. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.